The following is a community affairs presentation from the Ulster County Health Department. This is the Healthy Ulster Radio Show, a weekly presentation exploring community health and sustainability with guests representing a broad spectrum of community partners working to make Ulster County the healthiest in New York State. This program is sponsored by the Health Alliance of the Hudson Valley in Kingston, a member of the WMC Health Network.
Good morning. You are listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. I am your host, Dr. Carol Smith, Commissioner of Health and Mental Health for Ulster County. With me this morning is my co-host, Vin Martello, our Director of Community Health Relations. Good morning, Vin.
Good morning, Dr. Smith. How are you?
Fine, thanks.
Dr. Smith, today we're going to be talking about communicable diseases, and specifically flu, because flu season is upon us, and also measles. And we have with us our very own Wendy Johnson, who is the Supervising Public Health Nurse for Ulster County Department of Health and the Communicable Disease Division and the Immunization Action Program Coordinator. That's a lot to get on one card, Wendy.
It's a mouthful. That's why I simply say Supervising Public Health Nurse. It's a lot easier.
Dr. Smith, so before we go into the question section with Wendy, can you tell us a little bit about the flu, what it is, what are the symptoms, how people get it, and
sure.
How it spreads?
Well, the flu is a virus. And it's not exactly like a typical cold virus. The flu can leave you with fevers, coughs, sore throat, runny, stuffy nose, some significant body aches, muscle aches, headache, fatigue. Some folks also have some vomiting and diarrhea with the flu, but that seems to be a little bit more common in children. And of course, one of the most feared adverse effects of having had the flu is pneumonia, which could certainly lead to significant illness and death in some cases.
I think dehydration is in there too, because I remember one year way back that I got the flu, and I almost dehydrated completely.
Lucky that
I got to the emergency department in time. And so, Wendy, you are in the Communicable Diseases Division, and you work a lot on prevention. So what are some of the best ways for folks to prevent getting the flu?
Okay. Well, certainly prevention, as we talked about, hand washing. But the most significant way to prevent the flu is to get an annual flu shot. So it's some people ask, is it important to get it every year? And the answer to that is yes, it is. New flu vaccines are released every year because it needs to keep up with the rapidly changing flu viruses that are circulating. When someone receives a flu immunization, the immune system produces antibodies to protect that person from the viruses that were included in that particular vaccine. And since the viruses can change from year to year, different vaccines are developed annually to try to best match what's out there circulating in the community.
And how do the researchers or manufacturers that make these vaccines, I mean, do they? Is it kind of like a best educated guess as to what it's going to be? From Dr. Smith, you can answer that.
Sure. Well, the World Health Organization and the CDC track the viruses really that are present throughout the world. So, you know, typically the seasons are such that flu is more common in winter seasons in our hemisphere, but it's just the seasons are the reverse of ours around Australia and places like that. So the flu may be breaking out down in that area of the hemisphere. The World Health Organization can track these strains of viruses as they emerge in the different places of the globe. And also, you know, looking at perhaps the experience from the prior season just to see where that's at. But it's more than just a guess. It's really following the trends of the different viral strains and then manufacturing vaccines, which would be counter to those particular strains. So you may have two or even three strains of flu virus within a given vaccine when it is manufactured in our country.
And with the extensive global interaction with, you know, jet travel
absolutely,
and everything, people are moving about the globe.
That's very true of many communicable diseases. Is you know, we see outbreaks going on in measles or mumps or
Ebola.
Whooping cough or whatever. Flu, and you know, folks may travel while they're ill or otherwise infectious, and individuals who are exposed to these viruses then contract the illness and you know, it become ill.
So Wendy, should everyone be getting a flu vaccination? I mean, at all ages, everyone, or are there some recommendations around that?
Well, what CDC recommends is that everyone from 6 months of age and older get a flu shot. So that's through the lifespan. It's rare to have a recommendation that someone not get the flu. And that's for children under the age of 6 months. They're too young to get the flu. So it's important for the adults around those children and their siblings and peers to get flu shots, because then it protects the six-month-old children. The other demographic group that should probably avoid getting a flu vaccine, and they should check with their provider to be sure, but people with severe life-threatening allergies to the flu vaccine that they've had in the past, or any ingredient in the that particular vaccine, should avoid the flu. But in general, most people, yes.
And is there an optimal time of year? I mean, common sense would say maybe just immediately preceding the flu season, but is that the general advice out there?
That's the general advice. And then the question is, when is the flu season going to start? So we don't absolutely know when it's going to start, but CDC again recommends that people get their flu vaccine optimally by the end of October. If people miss getting their vaccine by that time period, it's never too late to get the vaccine. And in fact, flu vaccine is available through the end of the annual year and then in through the winter. So if someone has, for some reason, not gotten the flu vaccine, they really have up through the full season to get the vaccine. It's really never too late.
And I know there are people out there that say, well, I've never gotten the vaccine and I've never gotten the flu. Is that pretty much just luck of the draw? I mean, because I know that I didn't get the vaccine up until the point that one year when I got the flu and ended up in the hospital overnight. And that was learning the hard way. And ever since, I've gotten and not gotten it.
Yeah,
so
that's frightening. Yes, it is kind of a coincidence. If someone says, I've never gotten the flu shot, so I don't think I need the flu. Yes, you've been lucky. You're probably a healthy person. You've been lucky not to be exposed to the flu virus. If you do get the flu vaccine and someone ends up getting sick, that could be for any number of reasons, but it is not because someone got the flu from the vaccine. It's impossible to get the flu from the flu vaccine. It could be that in terms of timing, you were exposed to someone with the flu at the time you got the vaccine, and that time frame kind of intersected. So, or it could be something else that's happening.
And some of the strains out there, from what I've been reading over the last few years, are really virulent. I mean, much more so than perhaps in the past. Although in the past we had major flu outbreaks in the early 1900s that really, I had heard that many of the towns, even in Ulster County, had been quarantined, and
exactly,
it was a very,
very can look
worldwide
back
pandemic.
Exactly, and that's the right word, is that you can look back in history and see periods where there were major outbreaks worldwide with losses of life that were really very significant. And, you know, so we may even be due to have what's called a pandemic and up and, you know, around now. But You know, the CDC watches very carefully to some strains of viruses that may appear in animals, mm-hmm. Because some of those are actually transmittable or transmissible to humans as well. Mm-hmm. So, and they could be novel strains. So all of this is very carefully tracked. And in fact, the state gives us weekly reports once flu season mm-hmm. starts coming around so that we know, is the flu sporadic? Is it, you know, in all the counties? Is it widespread? Mm-hmm. How many cases? Are there any pediatric deaths associated with the flu? So all of this is available to local health departments to give us a better sense of how the flu is trending mm-hmm. in our area.
And it seems that, you know, people, I think we all take for granted living in the modern age free of many of the diseases that used to plague humankind, but there were 14 serious and deadly diseases that existed that don't, or for the most part don't now, because of vaccinations.
So that's correct. Mm-hmm.
From a cost-benefit analysis, you know, we forget that
yep.
because we haven't
absolutely.
Lived with it.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's easy to forget that.
Especially
yeah.
with childhood viral infections mm-hmm. and all this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we want to talk more about this and specifically about measles with you, Wendy. But first we're going to take a short break. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio.
I love the way that picture looks. Can you move it to the left just a bit? Careful on the ladder.
Really? You know I'm always careful. Let me move it just a little bit more. Uh-oh!
Let's face it, accidents happen. When life takes an unexpected turn, you want your family treated at a full-service emergency room where you'll find physicians who are board-certified in emergency medicine.
Let's get in the car. We're going to the ER.
Oh, but we'll be waiting for hours.
Introducing the 30 minutes or less ER pledge, only at Mid-Hudson Regional Hospital in Poughkeepsie and Health Alliance Hospital in Kingston, members of the WMC Health Network. When you arrive in either of these emergency rooms, you'll be seen by a member of the care team within 30 minutes. Expert trusted emergency care without the wait. To read the 30 minutes or less ER pledge, visit wmchealth.org/ER30.
Well, that was painless.
Hey, I'm the one with the stitches.
No, I was talking about the wait.
Another way the WMC Health Network is advancing care. Here.
Hannah complained of a headache. It was a rhabdomyosarcoma. Within a few days, Hannah was in treatment because we were told that the tumor was very aggressive. And it very quickly became clear that St. Jude was the ultimate place to be. So we've essentially put our lives in South Africa on hold. Incredibly blessed to be here. St. Jude is an asset to the world. The research that is developed here is offered freely to the rest of the medical world. The entire way that the place operates is just to give and to care. I think it's the kind of place that not only stands as a beacon for pediatric cancer, but I think it could teach the world a couple of lessons about how to treat people. And I think if those lessons could be learned, even in their most basic form, this world could be a better place.
St. Jude Children's Research Hospital, finding cures, saving children. Learn more at stjude.org.
Welcome back. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. Our special guest today is Wendy Johnson, who is a supervising public health nurse in our Ulster County Department of Health. And Wendy works in the Communicable Disease Division of our Patient Services Unit, and she's also the Immunization Action Program Coordinator. And communicable disease control is one of the core responsibilities of our health department. Wendy, could you tell us a little bit more about what the Immunization Action Program and the Communicable Disease Division does on a daily basis?
Sure. Well, let me start with communicable disease, which is a mouthful. We are charged with having the responsibility for surveillance and investigation of reportable diseases in the community, diseases such as hepatitis, all hepatitises, vaccine-preventable diseases, STDs, tuberculosis, gastrointestinal illnesses such as Salmonella campylobacter, just to name a few. And the method in which we monitor or surveil for these diseases is through lab reports that we receive. Every reportable disease that is tested goes through an analysis through a lab, and that reportable disease is then, the results are sent to New York State Department of Health. The labs are required by law, it's a state mandate, to report any lab results of diseases that are considered significantly transmissible. There's a whole list of them, if anybody felt like looking it up online, that they're required to report. So the state receives all these labs, and then they distribute the labs to each of the appropriate counties. We look at the labs that are received on a daily basis, and we can get anywhere from 20, that's a small number of labs for one day, up to, we've had over 100, but averagely it's, you know, 50, 60, 70. It's a lot of labs. The staff, we have three public health nurses who work specifically on that, and it's very time consuming. So they're charged with following up on all the lab reports to confirm that it's actually a true infection or not. Sometimes it's not. And then they also follow up with phone calls to medical providers, to patients, and in some cases, to those who've been at risk of exposure from a confirmed case of a transmittable disease. And all of this is done in order to prevent or stop outbreaks of disease in the community. So it's a big job.
Is there a fairly quick turnaround time with from the time that a person reports to a doctor, presents to a doctor, and you get that information and act on it?
Receiving the lab report timeframe, you mean?
The whole turnaround, the whole process.
It depends on what disease is being tested for, because, for example, if there's a sample that's sent to a lab and they're looking to confirm this particular thing is in the sample, they can do it by DNA or PCR, it's called. That's relatively quick. If they're looking to culture something, that takes more time because it takes time to grow. And in instances where, for example, tuberculosis cultures take about 8 weeks before you get any kind of lab result for culture growth. Mm-hmm. They can look at tuberculosis sputum under a smear, under a microscope, and we can get a good idea whether something's present there or not, but it doesn't give us information about what is in the deep areas of the lung, and that's why the cultures are important.
Mm-hmm. And in terms of vaccinations, which we talked about earlier, we know that they've eliminated over a dozen formerly serious, if not fatal, diseases. How successful? I mean, what are the success rates in terms of vaccinations? I mean, are they fairly effective in what they do?
It's pretty significant. With the introduction of each vaccine over chronological time, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but for example, measles vaccine was introduced in 1963. I just happen to remember that because we've been immersed in measles culture, so to speak, in the last number of months. And
we had thought we had just about eliminated measles.
Yes.
And really, you know, through the vaccination for measles program, unfortunately, it just takes a few who have, you know, declined the vaccine and then became infected. And then it very rapidly spread to the folks who are not vaccinated, or to the babies who are too young to be vaccinated, and it's very virulent. It spreads very quickly.
Potentially fatal, right, for children?
It depends, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can have a measles-induced encephalitis type of condition, and that could lead to other disabilities other than fatality, but certainly depending on the vulnerability of the individual, yes, it could.
And with respect to getting vaccinated, I mean, there's a twofold purpose to it, right? One is to protect yourself or your family from getting that disease, but then there's also what's known as herd immunity, which is to have enough community members within a given geographic area vaccinated so that it doesn't become a rich environment for virus to spread. Is that right, Wendy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's correct. For in the case of the measles, it takes about 95% of a population to be vaccinated in order to consider that population protected. So with 90% of the population, community immunity is achieved. But all it takes is to have a pocket that of a percentage that's less covered by vaccines, say 90%, 85%, and introducing an infected person with measles into that population, and a significant portion of those people will actually get the disease because of them not being protected.
So it's always that, it's always, I mean, as in many things, it's that with every right comes a responsibility, right? That if you're not, if you're living in society instead of not in a vacuum, you have to consider how your actions or lack of actions might affect the health and safety and welfare of others.
Absolutely. And this is totally based on public health policy, public health practices, which is why vaccines are mandated for school attendance, because you have all those kids congregating in small areas, and if we didn't have the requirements for school vaccines, we might have a lot more measles outbreaks, other disease outbreaks, if we didn't have the protection that we do in the community. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we know that, you know, as Dr. Smith alluded to, we had some very serious measles outbreaks really throughout the United States, but also more closely in Rockland County, where they had a very serious outbreak of measles.
Well, it actually really started down in New York City in Brooklyn, and overall, a couple of the communities in the borough of Brooklyn saw over 640 cases as of this past September of 2019. So, then you're right, the cases because of travel or because of individuals who may be visiting or having summer residences in counties outside of New York City, that Rockland County did experience several hundred cases as well. And so, you know, some of the other counties such as Sullivan also experienced some. So, you know, it spread because the folks who were really with lived within that Brooklyn area, you know, it traveled.
And it was a big concern with us because we have a substantial children's camp population.
We see several thousand children coming up from those communities. And actually, in order to prevent the spread of measles in our county, I did a commissioner's order, which required all of the camp operators to have proof that the children who were going to attend the camp and the camp counselor staff all show evidence of immunity to measles, meaning they've received the vaccine. And fortunately, we did not have a single case of measles.
Yeah, which can be very serious. So it looks like we're beginning to run out of time. So Wendy, where do people go to get vaccines, and where do they go to get more information about flu or measles or other communicable diseases?
Okay, sure. People can go to their own provider for vaccines. For children, we highly recommend that children see their pediatric provider or their family practice provider for receipt of vaccines. We also like to think that children are attached to a medical home so that they're getting full medical service. Mm-hmm. For adults, they can go to their provider or if the provider doesn't carry a vaccine or flu vaccine, pharmacies are a great resource for adults for all vaccines and for flu vaccine for all ages over two for flu vaccine.
And online sources include the New York State Department of Health, right?
Yep.
The CDC.
And New York State Department of Health.
So you can just, you know, Google or whatever, search CDC or New York State Department of Health, followed by what you're looking for, flu, measles, whatever, and you'll get
all the information
tremendous
you
information.
Yeah, that's exactly how to start.
Well,
to
Wendy, thank you for all of your hard work that you and your team do
thank
on
you,
our
Wendy.
Behalf,
we
behalf, behalf of our community.
Yeah.
We are out of time, so thank you once again. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. Tune in next week for more great information that you can use to keep yourself, your family, and our community healthy and strong.
You've been listening to the Healthy Ulster Radio Show, a community affairs presentation from the Ulster County Health Department, sponsored by Health Alliance of the Hudson Valley in Kingston, a member of the WMC Health Network. Thanks for listening, and be sure to join us for another edition of the Healthy Ulster Radio Show next week.